Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pretty interesting pitching matchup as it turned out last night between Trevor Cahill and Yu Darvish. And then everything changed when Luis Oviedo came in the game for the Pirates. And here to talk about that and all things Pirates is Jason Mackey. He's on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. And Jason, Ron and I both defended that decision, even though it was, you know, as the game turned out, it was pretty high leverage for fairly early in a game to come in and face the meat of the order. But we both felt like, hey, if you're going to have Oviedo on the team, and you have to basically for the whole year, why not put him in those situations and find out what he can do? What did you think of it?
I agree with you guys on a lot of things. I don't agree with you there. I like Oviedo. I like what I've seen out of him. He's a 21-year-old, though, that hasn't pitched above Class A before this year. And I'm not sure that for, I think it was his fourth appearance, 3-4-5 in the Padres order in a tied game was the what we needed to see for his develop. I thought it was too much too fast for him. I like taking a kid like that and putting him in situations where he's going to succeed, building his confidence. I mean, that's what they should be doing, in my opinion. I mean, you know, that this team isn't going to go toe-to-toe with the Padres for the National League pennant. I mean, you got to think about the future and what you're building. And, like, you're just throwing this kid in the deep end. And like, what if his confidence is rocked over this? I don't think it will because I think he's got a great temperament. I just don't agree with using him there. I thought they had other options they could have gone to.
Jason, I've always had this argument with people that talk about his confidence can be destroyed or hurt or everything else. If it's going to be hurt by one bad outing, is he going to be the type of pitcher that the Pirates think they have with him? I mean, he wouldn't be the first pitcher to be rocked, if you know what I mean.
No, I know. And you know what? That same thing happened with him in Cincinnati, and he came right back from it. It was impressive. Remember that ball he grooved to Moustakas, and it didn't bother him at all. And you know what? Like, I like that about Oviedo. I think that's what I meant when I was talking about his temperament, but I mean, that's what you have to be a reliever. And I mean, this kid fashions himself more as a starter, and I could absolutely see him doing that. So it's not a knock on him, and I don't blame him for struggling one bit. And I guess I see that point of view through Shelton's eyes, in that, like, we have to see what this kid is made of. I just, you know, if I was managing the situation, I would just give him more opportunities to get comfortable before I throw him in against Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, and Will Myers. I feel like there are better spots you can put him in this early in his career.
I hear you. But then again, when he came in against the Reds, the Pirates were winning the game 2-1. He had Joey Votto, Moustakas, people like that he faced. So, I mean, if you're going to have him on
Fair.
The team, how long do you wait before you put him in those kinds of situations? And who would you have put in?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I think about with Oviedo, Joe, is, like, this kid's a starter, and they want him to be a starter long-term. And I guess it doesn't work for them to start him now, although, honestly, if you're going to put him in these situations, why the heck not start him? But, you know, I see him as, like, a multiple-inning guy, maybe earlier than that, not necessarily that tight of leverage situations, but I think they could have gone to a couple different. I mean, Dwayne Underwood would have been an option there. Maybe even a Kyle Crick. Maybe you go to Feliz earlier. Just guys with a little bit more miles on the tires than Oviedo. And, you know, as we talk about this, Joe, I mean, you make a perfectly fine point about what they've used him for in Cincinnati. And you know what? Maybe that's just the reality of having a Rule 5 pick on your roster. He has to pitch in these situations. It's just, that is a lot right now. It feels like you're really throwing a kid to the wolves.
Does it not matter to you, Jason, that the team really is going to go nowhere this year, and why not find out what you have in him?
No, I agree with that, Ron. I absolutely agree with that. I just think that, you know, maybe there's a time and place for that, and that the time and place isn't his fourth appearance. Like, I'd maybe let him get his legs under him before I start throwing him in those situations. Like, I would just look to expose him in, you know, up four, down four, something like that. Just get him touches at first. But, you know, that's a hard thing to talk about, too, just because, like, we're not in the clubhouse. We're not around them. Those guys know their players best. They know what guys can handle much better than anybody on the outside does. And I think a lot of that is, you know, do you sense the comfortability there? So I get it. But that's tough for me. That's tough for me to force on a kid like that.
So we're 10 games into the season. What has been maybe a pleasant surprise for you with the Pirates so far, and what has been a disappointment? I just noticed that Kevin Newman's hitting, 171?
Yeah, that qualifies. The strong spring training has not translated. You know what, though, Joe? If I'm going to go with a disappointment, and I've actually been relatively encouraged by the starting pitching after a poor beginning to the season, the biggest one for me is center field. I mean, that is such a black hole right now for this team. And you could even lump Gregory Polanco in there. But, I mean, I think we had sort of thoughts, aspirations, beliefs, whatever, that somebody out there was going to give them something. And whether it's Alford, Fowler, I mean, they're just getting nothing from a position that should provide offense. They didn't get any from that position last year. They haven't gotten any since Marte was here. They need something. I don't know the solution. I mean, maybe it's to move Reynolds over there, play Phillip Evans in left. I hope that's what they do. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What made you, I'm curious, it must have been spring training, expect something from that position? Because Fowler, when's the last time he really played in the majors? And he hit .224, and then Anthony Alford. Did anybody really expect that much from him?
I thought he'd be a lot better than this, Joe. I really did. Based on what we saw last year, based on what we saw in spring training, you know, he still struck out some in spring, but he made obviously much more consistent contact than he's making now because he made some contact. You know, he's a guy that's real easy to get excited about, and I think you saw that in Toronto. Like, I thought Anthony Alford was going to figure out how to hit consistently, and I was wrong, and I think a lot of people were wrong. At least judging as of now. I mean, I thought Fowler would be better than he is right now, too. I thought Alford would be the better of the two. I just didn't think that combined they would get nothing. I mean, I didn't think, you know, they were going to have two guys combined for like a, you know, on pace for a 5-WAR season or anything stupid. I just thought that, you know, you wouldn't. I think those guys are hitting a combined 069 or something, Joe. I think that's what it was last night. I mean, it's atrocious. I didn't think that. And the pleasant surprise for me is Phillip Evans has been such a bright spot on this team. He's fun to watch, hits all the time. You know, you got to find a place for him to play. And you guys know this. I mean, if you hit, you're going to be in the lineup. The manager's going to find a place to put you.
The guy that really has impressed me is Stallings. He has really grown on me. I remember when they made him the starter. You know, I probably said it. I know a lot of people around the team said it. You'll never win with Stallings as your catcher. Well, they haven't won, but I would hardly say it's his fault that they haven't won. He's really grown on me. How about you?
No, I'm with you, Ron. I'm with you. He's such a underrated player. You know, I don't think anybody, if you look at the Pirates right now, I mean, you can't name a whole bunch of Pirates, and I don't even think people, unfortunately, would, you know, name Jacob Stallings. But if you look at Pirates players right now that could go to another team, let's say the Nationals or something, it's just the first one I thought of, you know, could actually play, like, I think Stallings would make that roster. I think Stallings would look pretty darn good. He's blossomed into one of the better defensive catchers in Major League Baseball. He has. He throws so well. He's very, very smart. I love his demeanor. you know, moves well back there for a big guy. And it's just, you know, he hits well enough. It gives them something there, and I just like what he's turned into in terms of a leader. I mean, he's one of the more respected voices, and I know for our purposes, I really appreciate the insight that Jacob gives on things.
Do you like hummus, Jason, or you feel like it's overrated? You strike me as a hummus type of guy. You're a Grateful Dead follower. Do you like hummus?
What, I'm a Grateful Dead follower, so like I smoke pot and eat veggie burritos all the time? You just
maybe.
Me
yeah, maybe.
Show?
Veggie burgers, granola, things like that. I don't know. How do you feel about hummus?
No, I think hummus is vastly overrated, and my wife will vehemently disagree with me, and that's fine. She can eat all the hummus she wants. I have no use for it whatsoever. I don't dislike it, but I don't crave it.
Ron, where do you stand?
I don't like hummus. I'm not a hummus person. Man, I don't know where to go after that question, Joe. I have no idea where to go after that question.
Yeah, what is that, Starkey? Are you sitting there dipping your little, like a piece of celery in hummus, or what's going on there?
Funny you should say that. I have a little lunch pack here, 4 compartments, celery, carrots, pita bread, and hummus. I like it. In fact, I love it. It's just basically ground up chickpeas with oil and spices. What's not to like about that?
Yeah, I don't have anything against it, but like that, I don't know. That's like saying you want to take a cracker and rub it on a glue stick and eat that. Like, that's what it tastes like.
I hear you. Ron, any other Pirates-related questions for our friend?
No, I think I'm done for today.
I do.
Ron, and speechless.
I asked you this last week. Hell, I'm going to ask you it every week. How soon before guys start getting traded? Trevor Cahill, yesterday, he looked like a pretty good pitcher to me. And even without Tatis, that's a pretty good lineup. Struck out 8. Like, the question for me is, you want to strike while the iron's hot with a lot of these guys, whether it's Colin Moran or Cahill or anybody else who's a veteran who pitches or plays well. So do you think that Charrington has the line open now? And that he'll try to strike soon with some of these people?
I think it depends on what the offer is, Joe. And I don't think Charrington's hanging up the phone on anybody. You know, I think people around baseball are well aware of what the Pirates situation is. And I think it's going to be dictated a lot by need. You know, if Cahill pitches the way he did last night, I think Charrington's going to get calls on. He looked very good. I was impressed. If Colin Moran, you know, continues hitting the way he has through the first 10 games, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes after that. Now, they're not going to say, here are our 5 best prospects. Please give us Trevor Cahill in exchange for them. It's not that, but...
Right. Well, nobody else has either, right? Nobody else has even said that for Josh Bell, but it appears that his MO here is to acquire as many high-ceiling prospects as he can and stuff the farm system with him, right?
It is, and he will. It is, and he will. I absolutely believe that he'll do that, and I don't think he would have anything against doing it right now. I don't think he's pushing guys out the door. I don't think he's calling every other GM saying, hey, what do you want? What do you think? But, I mean, that's the position they're in. They need to make those deals, and people around baseball are aware of it. It's just, you know, it's early, and you're trying to make heads or tails of what the Pirates players are. Teams are trying to make heads or tails of what they need. And you see deals, you know, there have been trades, obviously, but I think it's for sort of a different class of player than the Pirates are shopping.
I do have one more, Joe, before we finish here. And I don't know when Todd Tomczyk's speaking again. What's your guess on Cabrian Hayes? I guess he's eligible to come off Thursday, but there doesn't appear to be much momentum for that happening on Thursday. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't see that happening, Ron. I don't. You know, unless something really changed. But as of Sunday... and, you know, up to and including Sunday, Hayes has not swung a bat. He would have to go through that part of it, more on-field stuff in terms of working to get back. And I just, that would be an awful quick timeline at this point, given what he's missed. Again, I don't think it's alarming. I'm not concerned with the injury, but I just don't think, you know, you should look for him in the lineup on Thursday or anything imminent. I think they're just taking their time with it. We'll see him, you know, probably a little bit after the 10-day comes up, but I don't think right when it ends that he's going to be back.
You agree with me, Jason, that American Beauty is easily the Grateful Dead's best album?
Well, I guess, Joe, but I'm just not a big Grateful Dead like, what do you consider an album? You're saying studio albums. I mean, when you listen to The Dead, you have to listen to, like, live shows, right? Like,
oh, my God, I can't. No, the Dead bootleg shows, and I've been to Dead shows where Jerry Garcia went on for 8 hours playing these guitar riffs where he was off in a land by himself. No, I don't want to talk about any of those. Yes, studio albums.
Joe. That's the antithesis of what the Grateful Dead is about. And I was going to credit Buffalo, by the way. One of my favorites is called Trucking Up the Buffalo from Rich Stadium, July 4th, 1989. Absolutely incredible show.
I was there.
Were you?
John Smith, my friend, was passed out for the entire show from beginning to end, but he woke up during the encore and went right from passed out to dancing. It was an amazing comeback in the same stadium where they came back from 35-3 against the Oilers. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Who would have thought that me and Mackie were in the same building in 89, Ron, huh?
I'm still trying to get over your hummus question.
It's an interesting little food, I'll say that much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.